Revelation chapter 16. As today we will start to discuss the vials of God's wrath that has poured out upon the earth in the last days, the second half of the seven-year tribulation. And even in our time right now, we can see some things unfolding, things that are pointing to the end, things that are being used to usher in the one-world government, the one-world religion. And it's all under the name of globalism. If you're not familiar with that term, globalism, a lot of the elites in this world are all about globalism. They use climate change as one of their foundations to talk about needing a new world order and all these things, and just even depopulating the earth because there's too many people on the earth, and getting rid of all the cows because there's just too much gas emission coming from cattle and stuff. They just want to get rid of all that and just have you become like an animal eating plants and bugs, all right? And you can see, you'll hear all that about in the news and stuff. And just how many of you have seen in the grocery stores Beyond Meat? That's the name of the meat that is sold in grocery stores. It's called Beyond Meat, and it's not real meat. It's all plant-based. It's been manufactured and grown in laboratories and stuff. All is like, God gave us animals, all right? I like vegetables, all right? And I like my meat as well, all right? I will always remind us, what did Jesus say the thief has come to do? Jesus said, I've come to give life, give it more abundantly, but what did he say the thief has come to do? Steal, kill, destroy. Who is behind killing people? Whose idea is it to kill those whom God has given life to? Satan, right? Satan is behind abortion. Satan is behind euthanasia, all right? Killing old people, killing people that, you know, convincing them, you know, you don't, even those that are faced with terminal cancer, you don't want to go through, you know, because a lot of people, I mean, not everybody wants to go through chemotherapy and all of that and have to endure all that, all right? And doctors are now, you know, talking their patients into just ending your life, and we can help you because it's legal for them to do assisted suicide and all of that. It's the devil who's behind killing people, because what happens if someone is convinced that's not lost, they're convinced, you know, go ahead and take your life because, you know, you don't want to go through the chemo. What happens to that person? In their mind, they think, you know, they're doing something good. They're preventing their loved ones from having to watch them go through that and possibly even just die at the end anyway. All right. So a lot of people convince, go ahead and take your life, end it now so it, you know, saves you heartache. It saves your loved ones heartache. Well, what happens after a person dies? Anybody tell me? What happens when someone takes their last breath? Do you know what happens when someone takes their last breath? Are you afraid to say it? What happens?
Eternity.
You die, and you either go to hell if you're lost, or you go to heaven. We should not be afraid to say it, because that's exactly what happens when someone dies, is they go to heaven or hell, and that's what the devil wants. Honestly, we shouldn't even want our worst enemy to go to hell. I can remember times in my life where I've told people, just go to, that as a lost man. But as a Christian, that should never be our thinking about anybody. Because when we read Scripture, Scripture is plain to tell us what hell is like. It's not a big drinking party, as some people will say, I'm just going to party with my friends in hell. There's not going to be any partying in hell, because the Bible says it's all about torment, never getting out. Because people who reject the Lord and never receive Christ as their Savior, what are they left with? They're left with darkness. They're left with pain, right? Because God is the opposite. God is loving and gracious, peaceful, full of joy, right? That's why we look forward to heaven, because we know what we have to look forward to. We know that even though it's beyond my imagination, I know there's no pain, there's no death, there's no sin, there's no more struggle, there's no more spiritual battles, right? There's no more, trying to be nice to those that are your enemy, right? We know heaven is perfect, but the devil wants people to go to hell, and he convinces people abortion is okay. I mean, you don't want to bring that baby into the world because it's going to crimp your lifestyle. You're not going to be able to live your life how you want. You're going to be strapped down to a baby. Or if by chance they already find out the baby has Down syndrome, oh, you don't want to bring that baby into the world and struggle with Down syndrome. You know, I mean, it's not really a life, you know, so just go ahead and abort the fetus. Nowhere in the Bible do you see the word fetus. You see the word baby, right? Child. Because even in Elizabeth's womb, Elizabeth being the cousin of Mary, who was the mother of Jesus, Elizabeth being the mother of John the Baptist, the Bible records that when Mary entered into Elizabeth's home and saluted her cousin, said, hey, you know, however she said, hey, Elizabeth, how are you, or whatever, the Bible records that John the Baptist, who was still in Elizabeth's womb, leaped, kicked her, moved, right? But the Bible says that from the womb, even in the womb, John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit because God had blessed Zacharias and Elizabeth with a child in their old age so that God could use John the Baptist having the spirit of Elijah upon him to preach the coming of the Lord, all right? So when you think about just people committing suicide, abortion, assisted suicide, all that, the devil is behind it, all right? The devil wants his own, I don't know, can you say human beings? I mean, the devil wants his own people, all right? God has his people, the devil wants his people. I find it amazing, again, that, you know, sometimes we think, well, if I saw God, then I'd really live for him. Would they? Would we? Would we live more for God if we truly saw God high and lifted upon his throne? I wonder. Because Lucifer, a created cherub, in fact, he was the highest cherub. He was above Michael and Gabriel. Because Lucifer was created by God to lead the heavenly host in worshiping God. And the Bible gives a description of Lucifer, how he had pipes within him. I mean, just, he is a musical being, all right? And he's behind all the satanic music. I don't care if it's country music, rap music, anything that does not glorify God, the devil's behind it. Even Christian rock and roll music, the devil's behind it. Because again, when I was a teenager listening to heavy metal music, I had a Christian friend who said, you know, he took me to the Christian bookstore and wanted to get me some Christian music because he says, man, music you're listening to is just, it's devilish, it's wicked. I'm like, okay, I agreed. So he got me this little cassette tape. How many of you remember cassette tapes, right? How many of you remember 8-tracks? I remember the last vehicle my dad had, it took 8-tracks into the radio, and then when the cassettes came out, we had to get a cassette converter, you know, like an 8-track, you put your cassette in it, you could still put it in the 8-track, all right? How many of you remember the wind-up? What do you call it? Not the xylophone, the little record player with the big, all right? Anyway, I remember those, but I'm not that old. But you think about just the devil. I mean, he is, you've got to give him credit. The fact that he is very sly. He's very intelligent. And I'm looking forward to, and just, you know, bear with me as I talk a little bit. I'm looking forward to next month going through the Mind series. Because I think next month we're all going to realize that there's a lot of things we've been lied to about throughout our life. And to come to find out, that's a lie. It's not true. Because what happens when we hear something that is, you know, from the experts. Well, if someone's an expert, we expect that they're telling us the truth, right? That we can take what they say and just, you know what, build our life upon it. Now, I say all that because in chapter 16, this is God finally pouring out his wrath upon this world. We kind of talked about it last week, but it's God's wrath upon the world and sin, the Antichrist, and the devil there at the end. Because from the beginning, the devil has been fighting to take what is God's. And he's done it by obviously getting Adam and Eve to sin against God in the Garden of Eden. And from that time to convince men that, you know, they are a god, so people would worship them as a god. I mean, the devil just has always been trying to just destroy what God has created, to corrupt it, all right? So when we get to the seven-year tribulation and when the Jews have their third temple built, and at the beginning of the second half of that tribulation that is just at the door right now, I mean, it is at the door. They're already prepared to build the temple. They've already got everything that they need. They already have the red heifers over there. Know what a red heifer is? I mean, you say it's a red cow, but no, red heifer. The priests have already checked them over, and they're good to go. They're ready to be, you know, offered as sacrifices, and just all these things that obviously in our country you're not going to hear on the news. The mainstream media or anything, you got to find some really reliable sources, all right? Because you can't believe everything on ABC, CBS, NBC, on the internet. You just cannot, all right? Whereas you and me, as God's people, what source do we have to go to for truth? What do we have? The Bible. And I'm thankful that there are some Christians who will report the truth, all right? The truth. Now, very quickly, for time's sake, I want to show you some things, and it is relevant. It is relevant because did you hear that the mask mandates are rolling back out? Universities have already implemented mask mandates. You got to wear a mask. I think it's New York City. There's just places already rolling it back out because there's an uptick in COVID. It's starting to come around again. All right. So guess what? You're not going to hear. You're not going to hear any more about the flu. You're not going to hear any more about any other, you know, fall and winter cold. It's all going to be about COVID. Why? What was the whole purpose of 2019 and 2020, you know, the end of 2019 and 2020, is all about programming people to follow the program. And what's the program? The program is the one world leadership. You just do what you're told. You'll own nothing and you'll be happy. Do you know who wants to rob you of your joy? He cannot take away your salvation, but he wants to rob you of life. Because when someone is isolated, what happens? Because that was the whole thing back then. He says, isolate, don't go to the stores, you know, don't gather with family and friends, you know. That's why people would have all these birthday, you know, sayings out in their yard, and, you know, people come by and honk and wave, and the grandmothers, I mean, our neighbors, I mean, they had all these things going on. People have to socialize. I got to hold my grandson. You know, I got to be around family. I got to be around church family, right? All of that. So, you know, all of that just being said, just everything that is happening in the world, it is just ushering in the one world government. I mean, it's coming. The Bible says so. But as Christians, are we supposed to be afraid? No, because the Bible tells us that right before the Antichrist is revealed, the rapture happens. All those that are born again, not all those that are churchgoers, not all those that profess Christ as their Savior are going at the rapture. Those that have been born again, those that have trusted Jesus Christ in the age that we're in, the dispensation age that we're in, which is the age of grace. I want to show you some things very interesting. God is just good. God is good just to allow things to be revealed and found at different times. But there, here's a, I want to show you this, because what's the big push besides the mask? What's the big push? What was the big push in 2020 and continues to be the big push? Follow the science, right? Get the COVID vaccine. Get the jab. And you realize, if you've been keeping up and even hearing things, more and more and more young people are just dropping over dead. Healthy athletes, healthy people. I mean, if you're paying any attention to the news or anything that people are saying, people are dying and have been dying from the COVID vaccine. Okay? So I want to show you a newspaper from June of 2011. Who's the guy behind the vaccine? Fauci's our spokesperson. Let me put it this way. He funds it. He funded the development. He is the number one donor to the World Health Organization, to NATO. He is the guy that he has a lot of money in, but he has no medical background. He invented what we know as Microsoft, Bill Gates. But he's the guy everybody listens to, because he is big on the fact that the world is too populated and we need to decrease the population of the earth, all right, in order to save the earth, in order to save Mother Earth, all right? So when you look at, this is a newspaper clipping, or not, it's a newspaper from June of 2011, the Sovereign Independent newspaper. They interviewed Bill Gates, and you notice the headline, Depopulation Through Forced Vaccination, the Zero Carbon Solution. When you hear globalists and the big elites talk about, you know, we gotta get the carbon down, you know, zero carbon, all this, you know, everyone needs to go to electric vehicles and all this, you know, Al Gore and all the big guys, you know, go to these, you know, we gotta cut your electricity, no gas stoves, all that stuff. But this is Bill Gates, and I don't know if you can see it, but it says, this is what Bill Gates says back in 2011. The world today, back in 2011, has 6.8 billion people. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people either going to heaven or hell. He says that's headed up to about 9 billion. Again, this is in 2011. But now if we do a really great job on new vaccines, well, wasn't the COVID vaccine a new vaccine that was came out very quick, and they even admit now they didn't go through any testing. They did not test pregnant women to see how the vaccine would affect pregnant women. Well, a lot of people have become sterile. A lot of ladies have given birth to stillborn babies and all these things going on. But he says, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, health care, reproductive health services, we lower that, talking about the population, we lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%. Now, when you can look it up, and Bill Gates is the one who funded the vaccine, he's the one that pushes it, he's the one everybody listens to, all the elites and all, they listen to that, and they've already said there's another COVID vaccine coming out that everybody has to take. Even if you've already been vaccinated, you're going to have to take this one. Well, they can't make me do that. No. But if you don't, they can keep you from getting medical help. I think last week I told you a lady up in Canada needed a kidney transplant. They had a donor and everything. She was good to go. Checking her marriage. Oh, you didn't have the vaccine? You didn't have the COVID vaccine? We can't do it. We can't operate on you. Basically, go home. And she died because they refused to give her this transplant because she had not had the vaccine. Do you see where that kind of lines up with the mark of the beast? Not that it is, but it's programming people now, oh, well, if I don't get this vaccine, then they may tell me I can't go get food at the grocery store. The doctor's not going to see me. All these things. So when the mark of the beast comes out, hey, people are, yeah, I'll take that because I want to buy food. I want medical help. I want all the things that I need to survive, all right? So it's all about programming, all right? It's all about programming. But on a good note, again, God is good. Can you tell what those are? And no, they're not duck prints. This is a riverbed down in Texas that has been drying up, and what has been revealed are dinosaur tracks. Dinosaur tracks in the stones that have, you know, over time, but this is down, and it's a legit thing. It's not a fake picture or anything, but I mean, you just heard, I mean, they're finding because of Antarctica, because of what they call global warming, but as the ice and everything starts to melt up north, they are finding, they have found vegetation, all right? They have found, obviously, animals, things that should not be there. They have found humans, all right? Humans that, you know, their appearance, their clothing, things they've had with them several thousand years ago. They can, now they want to say 17 million, right? But when you think about what they're finding with all the snow and the ice melting and all of that, you know what that just points to? It points right back to the great flood, Noah's flood. Because when Noah's flood happened, the earth tilted on its axis. And then, you know, the rains, you know, 40 days and 40 nights, but then there was this, we call it the ice age happened, all right? God basically freezes the north and south poles of this planet, you know, all these things. Because think about when the flood happened, it was so rapid and things died so quickly, right? Again, man wants to not admit that there's a creator. And the only way that they can admit that there's not a creator is, well, you know, evolution, you know, billions of years, and, well, this is, a few million years back and all that. Just trying to discredit God, because guess what? Nobody wants anybody telling them what to do. Nobody wants anyone telling them, you know, you're wrong. I love it when people, somebody even recently, doesn't the Bible say something about you're not supposed to judge? My wife keeps telling me how wrong I am. I'm thinking, okay, why is it people who don't believe in God always want to use what Jesus said about judging one another? Jesus said you'd know them by their fruit. So he does call us to be fruit inspectors. And what do fruit inspectors do? They judge whether or not the fruit on the tree is good or not, if it's been infected by insects and so forth, all right? So, I mean, I just say all that. God is good. God is good all the time. And just as the world gets worse, as God reveals things on this planet just to prove, just to prove the flood, just to prove he's the creator, and to prove that, listen, this world's coming to an end. And as Christians, we cannot be complacent any longer and think, well, you know, nothing will happen in my lifetime. It's very quickly coming to that point. Christianity is real. The Bible is real. Because listen, the things that we're going to read in chapter 16 are very disturbing. But people have been programmed not to flinch, not to bat an eye at zombies, not to, you know, bat an eye. Because, again, Hollywood wants to program and has been programming and brainwashing people for years that nothing really bothers them. A lot of people aren't bothered by abortion. A lot of people aren't bothered by, you know, somebody, you know, having a car wreck, thrown out of the vehicle all mangled up. People stop and just look and take pictures. They think it's cool taking pictures of a mangled up body. Why? Because their conscience has been seared. They don't have any really any natural feelings anymore about people. Why is it people can just easily go and kill somebody? I heard of a story. You know, and this is all relevant, so just, you know, so bear with me. Because we're living in such a grotesque time that, again, people don't care about anybody. Do you realize? I'll tell you the story. There was a neighborhood having some celebration parties, and you could go from house to house, and you know neighbors. You know, have some neighborhoods that do those neighborhood block parties and stuff. You know, you just everyone's invited. And this neighbor went into one house, sat down, ate, you know, laughing, you know, carrying on with everybody. You know, he finished his meal. All of a sudden, he stood up, pulled out a gun, started shooting people. And it was a neighbor everybody knew. Two people died instantly, several were wounded. Nobody expected it. Do you realize that there are, I'm sure you do, but you've heard of people going into churches and just shooting. And the most ridiculous thing is, I told you a few weeks ago about the man that was attacked, shot twice, still was able to wrestle the gun out of the attacker's hands, turn it, and kill him. And the victim is being charged with murder. Because that's the way the world is. The world calls evil good and good evil. All right? So, I mean, we live in a world that is just chaotic, all right? And listen, we've got to be careful, all right? We can't be naive. We cannot be, you know, complacent to where, you know what, we don't think, you know what, there is danger around. Now, again, we're not supposed to be scared. We're supposed to be praying. God protects us, all right? But we can't be naive. We can't be like, and I'm not saying this to you folks, I'm just saying it in general. We can't be like ostriches that stick their heads in the sand. You know, if I don't see it, then it's not there. It's not real, right? It's not happening. Because on God's prophetic timetable, we are at the end of this age, all right? I don't know how much longer we have, but I can tell you this. Based on everything I've read and everything I hear, I don't think we have 50 years, all right? And you're like, oh, Pastor, look, we're not even guaranteed our next breath, are we? None of us are guaranteed of getting home safe today. So how should we as God's people be living every day with the consciousness that today I might meet my Savior, which is a good thing, but I don't want to be found not faithful. Not faithful to Him, not being alert to what's going on in the world, and, you know, keeping myself unspotted from the world. Now, when you look at, we'll do that chart here in a minute. When you look at chapter 16, Revelation chapter 16, all right, so far, all right, the seven seals have been opened up, the seven trumpets have been blown, and now the vials are going to be poured out. Things have already been happening. One third of all trees and grass have been burned up. A third of the water has been turned to blood already. Different judgments have already happened. all right? And nobody's repenting, all right? But now the wrath of God is about to be poured out with these vials. And in chapter 16, verse 1, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth.' And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image." So the first vial is poured out, and what happens? Those who have taken the mark or the name of the beast in their right hand or their forehead, there is a noisome, grievous sore that appears. Well, yeah, think, I mean, if it's something like a microchip that people are already getting planted in their hands right now, all right, there's already different places in the world where people are getting these implants in their hand for the companies they work for so they can get into the buildings and stuff, all right? So, I mean, you put some foreign object into your hand that emits, not radiation, but what's that called? Not RTF. The signals. What's the signals called? Come on, guys. No programmers. What's that? Huh?
NFC.
But, radio waves, all right? But think about this foreign object in your skin that, again, it has everything about you, your medical records, everything. You can't get into buildings without, this chip, all right? And we're just saying, it may not be a chip, but it's a precursor, because you think about the first vial that's poured out, everyone who has taken the mark of the beast, they end up with this grievous, disgusting, putrid sore. And I can almost imagine it, all right? You know what a boil is? Know what a boil is? You ever seen a boil? It's when it pops and stuff, it can get really grotesque. You read the book of Job, and Job had boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, and the devil caused it, all right? The devil touched his body when God allowed him to, gave him boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Can you imagine all these people that are so excited to get this mark of the beast, because that way they can buy food, get the medical attention they need. Oh, and by the way, and it says, and those that worship the beast as well, the mark of the beast, but those that are worshiping, they're so excited, but then something happens. Man, it starts growing this boil on the skin. It starts reacting to the body. And can you just think about this? And I did not, I did not bring a picture, because it's pretty gross. I didn't want to bring that, but I looked up a boil, and it's, they can just be disgusting. But look, it's the judgment of God. It's the judgment of God. Because what do people do if we can explain it away, then people don't believe in God. If somehow I can explain away what has happened or is happening in my life or the world, then there is no God. That's why, they have, millions of years ago, dinosaurs. Look, the world isn't even 10,000 years old, all right? And maybe I'll teach that here maybe next year, all right? We'll get into the age of the earth and stuff, right? Very fascinating, all right? Because, again, when you hear the lies of the world and it becomes part of your life, you think, we've been around for millions of years. Well, where's the promise of his coming? We'll be here for another, millions of years, all right? But if you can explain it away, then the judgment of God does not exist in my mind. And I say that because this first vial, all right, a sore or a boil comes upon all those that reject the Lord, and they take the mark of the beast. They worship the beast as well. Well, the sixth plague back in Egypt was boils. It's one of God's judgments. But do you remember back when Moses turned the water to blood? The magicians, the Egyptian magicians did it too. It's recorded in the scripture. Moses did it, and then they were able to turn a cup of water into blood. All right, now how they did it, I don't know. Maybe satanic power, and maybe they had, you know, some dye that they dropped in, turned it, whatever. All right. They were able to do it, and Pharaoh saw that, and he didn't believe Moses. Okay, my magicians can do what you did. But when you continue reading through those 10 plagues, it got to a point the magicians couldn't do it, and they told Pharaoh, this is nothing but the hand of God. So up to this point, a lot of things that have been happening on this planet, they've been able to explain away. Because we've already looked at the trumpet, all right? The trumpets, different things that happen, you know, and we're speculating that, you know, a lot of it's probably a nuclear war, all right, that goes on, all right? But now it's the wrath of God being poured out. Because in this chapter, as the wrath of God continues to be poured out, it says men refuse to repent and they start cursing God. They could explain away before because let's just say, you know, nuclear warheads are exploding, you know, things are just really destroying this earth. And okay, it's man fighting against man, you know, there is no God, whatever. But now God starts pouring his wrath down and they start blaspheming him. They start blaspheming him even for these boils. So again, the first vial is the noisome. All right, it says noisome. And I heard and the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore. What is noisome? What is noisome? Well, you would think noisy, but it's not. Noisome does not mean noisy. Noisome means offensive to the smell. Offensive to the smell, a disgusting smell. So if you've ever had to take care of any disgusting sores or anything, or you've been around somebody, it's a very offensive, disgusting smell. Because with God's wrath being poured out, he's giving the people what they wanted. They didn't want him. They wanted the mark of the beast. So, hey, here's your cup to the full. You can have the mark of the beast. And with the mark of the beast, you're going to get these boils, these disgusting boils that just start taking over, all right? Grievous means afflictive, irritating. Afflictive and irritating. So you can almost imagine these people running around, maybe not even running around, but just all of a sudden they've been so happy to get the mark of the beast, but then it starts reacting with their body, and now their body is, I could say, decaying. Because as they're irritating and they're scratching, you know, where the mark is and all of this. I mean, have you ever had an itch so bad you just scratched until it bled? And you found some relief. You were able to get some relief, whether medicine cream or something, all right? But with this, there is no relief. Because remember, you don't want the peace of God. So what are you left with? You're not going to have any relief. The devil is not here to bring relief into people's lives. And again, we would say, well, if the devil come walking in with his red suit and pitchfork, of course we wouldn't follow him. But he uses people like Fauci, the experts, people like Bill Gates. He uses people to lie to people, to convince people, to follow a lie and deny the truth, right? So the first vial of God's wrath, God is the one that allows them to have this sore, all right, this boil upon them. The second vial, look at verse 3. Just a couple more minutes. We won't get through it all today, obviously, but verse number 3, the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of dead men, and every living soul died in the sea. And it says it became as the blood of dead men, and every living soul died upon or in the sea. So again, here's God's already with one of the trumpets, right? Oops. With one of the trumpets, God has already, I can't even see my own writing here. What trumpet?
I didn't write it down, but maybe in the first or second trumpet, that God had already turned the sea into blood, right? The burning mountain, and we talked about that burning mountain being cast into the sea and how that could be, you know, a volcano. And we saw that island over in Hawaii that's made up of 5 different volcanoes, all right? And how that could be what affects the sea. But here is God's second vial, and he turns the sea, he turns the waters into blood, and everything in the water dies. It's strange, though, but words are important. Do you notice the last words of verse 3? Every living soul died in the sea. Animals don't have souls. Did you know that? Animals don't have souls. So I hate to burst your bubble. If your cat or dog dies, they're not going to heaven. There are horses in heaven. Read that in Scripture. There's horses in heaven. All right. Not the ones in Nevada that might attack you or bite you, right? But these are nice horses. They're white horses. We get to ride on them, all right? But could it be because, you know, sometimes you just have to think about this instead of just reading the words and just skipping over, think, you know, well, they're already trying to live on Mars. They want to try to inhabit Mars, all right? And they're already trying to, you know, build cities. They want to build cities under the water. You know, because think, if we're truly facing a global warming, well, you know what? Let's go underground. Let's go under to get away from radiation and stuff like that. All right. So I mean, it's just interesting when you read, you know, every living soul, all right, in the sea, but no one can escape the wrath of God. It's just, you know, just face that. No one can escape the wrath of God. Everybody can experience the grace of God if they wanted to, but those that don't, well, they're not going to escape the wrath of God. You know, it even says in the Bible, right, they call for the rocks to fall on them when they see the face of God. Hide us from the face of God, right? Now, you look at verse number 4-7, all right, the third vial. The third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. See, because man is so bloodthirsty in killing innocent unborn babies, babies that have survived abortion because they, you know, want to just kill people. Again, the news article I showed you with Bill Gates, he's all about killing people, depopulating the earth, okay? The woman riding the beast, all right? The Roman Catholic Church is all about killing God's people, killing the saints, all right? God gives the world exactly what they want, but he gives it to them in abundance, right? Because sometimes, you know, we think, you know, there's pleasure in sin for a season, but then when that sin takes over, right, a life is destroyed. Someone who, you know, just for example, someone who thinks, you know, well, you know, just one little joint, one little marijuana joint's okay, you know, it's not a big deal. But if they continue, they go down a path to where they have to get into crack. They have to get into all the stronger drugs that destroy their body, destroy their life, right? There's all kinds of sin in this world that it seems fun to start with, but it's all about destroying that life, and the devil is behind that. Listen, people that murder, okay, God's going to, because he's a righteous judge, he's going to judge the evil and wickedness of this world. That's the whole point of God's wrath being poured out. You and I hope you understand, God is a loving God, but he's a righteous God, and he judges wickedness. He judges the evil of this world in his time to the fullest, right? To the fullest. Sometimes you may tell a judge, you know, throw the book at them because they're so guilty, right? God's going to pour out his wrath upon the wicked. But verse 7, and I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. So the third vial, God turns the rest of the rivers into blood, as well as the fountains of water, the springs, you know. Again, during this time, I mean, you need water to survive. You need food and water to survive, right? And as God turns the waters into blood, there may be, well, you know, I still got, you know, I got my natural spring on my property. I mean, God turns all the water into blood. Again, that's what he did in Egypt. He turned the water, they couldn't find water anywhere. Everywhere they looked, it was just blood. Why? Because the Egyptians were guilty of blood murder. They, I mean, you understand, I mean, abortion is nothing new. Killing babies, killing children is nothing new. You read in the Old Testament, the god Molech. This stone statue of Molech that would have a scent, the belly was cut out, and that's where the fire was. The arms were extended. And parents would roll their children down into the fire as a sacrifice to Molech. And Molech's just another name for Lucifer, the devil, because he's all about death. He's all about killing God's people. God's given life to people, right? A living soul. Every person has a living soul. Everybody has an opportunity to trust God as their Savior. But, you know, sometimes, you know, have you ever wondered, you know, how much longer can the wickedness in this world go on? I mean, when is God just going to judge the wickedness? Well, it's coming. The court date has been set on God's calendar, all right? We're not going to be there. We're not going to be in the courtroom when he starts pouring out this wrath upon this world. But when we get to it at the Battle of Armageddon, we get to come back riding on white horses with the Lord Jesus as he comes back to destroy the enemies of God, to cast the devil into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. I mean, I'm just being honest. I'm not being very quick to go through Revelation, because I'm kind of hoping the trumpet sounds before I get to the end of Revelation. So you think, Pastor, what if it's 20 years? I guess, you know, 20 years in, you know, Revelation, I guess, you know. Some of us will already be home with the Lord, and the rest of us will be like, now? But just think about, again, when you read Revelation, it's not doom and gloom for us. It's not doom and gloom for us. But what it does for us, again, is to help us to be reminded, you know what? I am following a God who is righteous, who is holy, who loves me, who died for me and gave me the opportunity to be saved in the age that I could just have faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not having to try to keep myself alive. I'm not having to, you know, hide out in the woods. I'm not having to be forced, you know, take a mark or anything, or you're going to die and have to go, well, I'm going to die, all right? But again, you know, as we go through Revelation, it also should be something that convicts all of our hearts that it's worth living for the Lord right now. It's worth giving my entire life to the Lord and letting God truly own me and have me. Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, what can I do for you to show you I'm grateful for all the benefits you have toward me? Because we have an opportunity now to live for the Lord. However the Lord wants us to. Not how we want to, but how the Lord wants us to, so that when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, not the great white throne judgment. We're not headed to God's great white throne judgment. That's for the lost people. That's for those that even claim to be Christian and they're not. But as born-again believers, we're headed to the judgment seat of Christ, and our life is judged by the Lord. Not whether what we get in heaven, but the things that we've done in our life since the day of salvation, all the way up until the moment he took us home. Our life is judged. And I sure do want my life to count for the Lord.
I'll be honest, I already know I'm going to have to hear a bad report mixed in with a good report. Why didn't you do this, Troy? Why did you do that, Troy? Right? I mean, that's just the way it is, right? But while we have that opportunity, though, now, we should really be seeking God with all of our heart so we can live a life that is glorifying to Him, but also a testimony to others around us. That, you know what? We have something they need and something they see that they desperately want, because it's not pretty on the other side. The other side of this dispensation, it's not pretty. And like I said before, we shouldn't want our worst enemy to go to hell. Doesn't matter how bad they've hurt us, we should not want anyone to go to that place that they'll never get out of. And I guarantee you, we all have our people in our life that have done us wrong, that they don't deserve the grace of God. Well, neither do we, right? But again, how's your relationship with the Lord right now? How's your relationship with the Lord right now? Because where your heart is, there's your treasure. You'll find where your treasure is when you see where your heart is. Father, we do thank you this morning just for your goodness. And Father, thank you as we go through the book of Revelation. I do pray, Father, that you would convict our hearts about the things that are written in Revelation. Not that we're going through it, but the fact that, Lord, you have spared us from a lot. Not only have you spared us from the judgment of being cast into a lake of fire, because we've put our faith and trust in Christ and we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, but Lord, even the fact that we're not even going to go through the tribulation, you have to face any of those things that we read about in Scripture. But Lord, help us to just continue to walk by faith, to continue to be grateful for your love and grace towards us. But Lord, I do ask that you would help us to follow you faithfully, to live our life faithfully for you, and to let you continue to work in us, Lord, cultivating the fruit of the Spirit in our life so we can be that shining testimony where we live and where we work right now. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. All right, give you about